Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. My sincere thanks for listening. Do please help me spread the word about this show. I would greatly appreciate if you would tell others to listen in as well, whether they are Catholic or not, and whether they are into sports or not. Hopefully you've been listening long enough to know that there are really impactful stories and powerful lessons coming out of the conversations on this show every week that very well just might be the help, the encouragement that someone needs to hear. So I'm grateful for whatever you can do to bring more and more listeners to this ministry community. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net, where you'll find lots to engage with, including logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. I love hearing from listeners, so please feel free to get in touch through any of those platforms. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Yes, I know it's a business. Sports is how lots and lots and lots of people make a living, and not just athletes either. Heck, I worked in sports myself for, more than 20 years at least. But just like Tampa Bay Rays outfielder Brett Phillips has as his slogan on his own line of merchandise, "Baseball is fun," the business part of it aside, at some point there just has to be a level of pure enjoyment. Otherwise, what's the point? You can draw a comparison to something we read in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is talking in verse 3, quote, "And said, Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven," end quote. Friends, yes, it's up to an outfielder to catch a fly ball. Teammates, coaches, and fans are trusting that that out will be made. But in our faith life, we must be childlike, and as a baby is with their parents, so too must we be completely dependent and trust in our Heavenly Father. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a world champion powerlifter. Since 2018, he has broken 9 state records in deadlift and bench press, along the way taking first place at the World Championships last year for the World Association of Benchers and Deadlifters for 220-pound 50 to 54-year-olds. In college, he had been a middle linebacker on the football team at the University of San Diego, a Catholic college where he also ran track for them, setting the school shot put and discus records. For approximately 25 years now, he has been running a chiropractic sports clinic in the Pacific Northwest, where for years he has served numerous sports teams and events in roles such as medical director, team doctor, head drug tester, and team chiropractor. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dr. Mark Weber.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Yes, Mark, thank you. I'd love for you to start by telling the audience about your dad and his religious background, as well as how he met your mother, because I think this will show the foundation that was set for a very faith-oriented upbringing.
Yes, I was raised Catholic, but my dad, out of the military, went into he went to Seattle University, and then after the military, and then he went into the monastery. He was a Trappist monk in the Trappist monastery in Lafayette, Oregon. He felt called to go into that life, and he was there for 3 years. And they come up to their first vows, and he talked with his abbot, and they decided that he should leave for medical reasons. And he was anticipating and thinking he would come back. But then when he left, and he was participating in his Catholic faith life and going to Mass and going to Catholic singles groups too, and that's where he met my mom. And at a Catholic singles group, and they started dating, and they decided to get married. But his faith was always the primary source of his life, and he was extremely knowledgeable because of all the studying, and he had been in the seminary, so he knew. I always said he knew as much as the priest did, because he was always talking to us about it. And so a lot of my knowledge came from my dad at an early age, because it was, I was lucky, because if I ever had questions, I can ask him as well as the priest. But he was, all the way through, you know, high school, college, if I ever had a question on faith, I could ask him.
Fantastic. But, fantastic.
Yeah, that was always a very important. So having a dad that was educated in the seminary and was a Trappist monk, and I visited the Trappist monastery many times, and it was an amazing place. I even considered going at one point, but I did feel more called to the to be married.
And folks, that's quite an eye-opening beginning to any episode of Catholic Sports Radio, to hear a guest come on and say, my dad was a Trappist monk. But equally eye-opening, I'm amazed, Mark, that someone this young had such a thought in mind. Tell us the story about what happened when you were in second grade and talking to our Heavenly Father.
Being raised in early age, when my dad was talking to me about faith and going to church, and at some point, everybody wrestles with the question, do I really believe this? And does God really exist? And when I was 8 years old, when I was in second grade, I remember thinking, does God really exist? Do you really exist? And I'd have conversations in my mind with him. And one day I was really frustrated down in the basement. It was an unfinished basement. And my parents, you know, grew up, where they didn't have much back in the day because of the Great Depression. So they held on to everything. So, I mean, it was like a hoarder's downstairs basement. And there was something I was looking for, and I can't remember what it was, but I remember I'd been looking for an hour, and I was mad. I remember stopping and going, God, please help me find this. And then I said, so, God, do you really exist? Do you really exist, God? If you really exist, please show me a sign. Show me a sign. And so then I just felt this peace come over me. I closed my eyes, and I just moved a few feet to the right, and then I went down a little bit, turned to the left, and then I bent down with my eyes closed, reached down through some boxes, grabbed a hold of something, opened my eyes, and pulled it up, and that was the thing I was looking for.
Wow.
And it shocked me. I was scared, overwhelmed, and amazed all at the same time. And I remember breathing really fast. And at that moment, I realized that God existed. And I was like, wow, okay, I believe you exist. And I will never doubt that you exist again. And then I asked him for another favor and said, okay, God, help me find this other thing. And then I closed my eyes and just slowly walked through a whole length of the basement, went into an area that I'd never go into normally, and I did the same thing and found the other thing. And I just blindly, I mean, it was trippy, freaky, everything. And at that point, I just said to myself, okay, I know God exists.
Yeah.
And thank you for showing me the sign, and I will never doubt.
Well, Mark, for anybody who's out there that's a doubting Thomas, we don't normally spend this much time talking about something that happened so early on in a guest's life. But when someone tells you about something so significant that happened at the age of just 11 or 12, you just have to know the details. Share with the audience what I'm referring to in this other story that you have.
So fast forward to sixth grade, I moved into a Catholic school for junior high, from public school to Catholic school. From sixth to eighth grade, I went to St. Monica's Junior High in Mercer Island. And the carpooler at that time was my teacher, who would drive me in, and my family. So we get there really early, and we get there early for the early mass. And then there was another mass that's right before school. So at first I used to go out and kick and play catch with my brother with the football, and then go across the street to Mercer Island High School, kick field goals. And at one point in sixth grade, I remember just after kicking field goals one day saying, well, if I really believe in God, and I believe everything that is around it. Shouldn't I want to go to mass? Shouldn't I want to go to church? Shouldn't I be taking advantage of going to church? Mm. And at that point, just became clear that, yeah, I should be taking advantage of this. So I started going to mass every morning in the early part, and I became an altar boy, and I started serving the masses. So I go to both masses, and I'd serve every day. So on average, about twice a day, I would do masses. Sometimes they'd pull me out of school, and I would do funerals and stuff too. But on average, I would do about 8 to 10 masses a week. I would serve, and I just got a lot out of it. I felt a lot of peace. I would do the readings. I was the altar boy. And when you get it participating, when you participate, you get a lot out of it. And I just felt a lot of peace and grace going to mass.
Yeah, I can tell in your voice, the way that you're telling the story, it's almost taking us back and placing us there on the altar with you. Let's fast forward ahead a bit. It's important that the audience hears that you did all Catholic education throughout your years, going to, as you mentioned, elementary, middle, junior, high school, as well as college, which I mentioned in the intro. Mark, how were you so successful at the University of San Diego to play football and set the shot put and discus records that I mentioned in the intro, and be so active in faith-related campus activities, not to mention your education?
Yeah, I went to University of San Diego, or I went to Eastside Catholic High School, which in Bellevue. And my first year there was the first year we had a graduating class. But they have all kinds of opportunities to be involved in the faith community. And so I would just participate wherever I could. And then you have other people there. And the priests, and there was nuns too that... And we became really close with our teachers and with the priest there, and it was just a natural fit to move forward. And then I went to the University of San Diego, which is a Catholic school as well, and that was the first time I was away from home. So not having my parents there, my dad to ask questions to, I started going to the priest there that was more for the campus ministry and running the masses for the students. And he asked me to help him put on the masses. And then I got my roommates involved, and they did the singing, and I did readings and served as the altar boy. Then they had retreats too, called Destiny, which were really amazing. And so I just was a natural thing to get involved with that. And that was mostly on Sunday. You know, because I played college football. That was always Monday through Friday, and games on Saturday. So it was able to work through that. And was also the founding member of the University of San Diego Knights of Columbus. So we started the Knights of Columbus on campus, and I became a third degree, and I was the first warden they had. And it just... You got other people there with you, and as a community, you pull each other forward, and you feed off of each other's energy, and God does work through you, giving you grace at the same time. So it was just a natural thing to do both.
Well, you say it was a natural thing, but I'm taking my hat off to you, because the natural thing for most college students would be to say, hey, look, Sunday's my day to catch up on all my homework and to get ready for the week and to study, and here you were playing football all week, obviously going to classes, and instead you're saying, no, the community, my faith, others around me, and the Lord himself was pushing me to do more with my faith. And so I'm saying hats off to you that it would have been very easy for a lot of people to say, oh, no, I just don't have time for faith right now. This is also impressive, audience. After graduating chiropractic college, Mark competed in powerlifting for 2 years, in 1994 and 1995. Then he met his wife, got married, had kids, so he did not compete again until 2018. So, Mark, did you sacrifice being a competitive powerlifter just so you could be a husband and a dad? Is that what we're supposed to read into that?
Yes, that's why I stopped competing, because my goal is to continue, but then priorities change when you get married and have kids. There's not a lot of time, because I was also running my own chiropractic practice, and I took care of a lot of the sports teams, so I continue to take care of them and work their games and travel with them, but I gave up my competing because of the time commitment, and to do it, because priorities change when you focus on your family, my wife and my kids. But in the background, I knew I always wanted to go back, but I still took care of the sports. I did MMA fights, and I still took care of the powerlifters and worked all the world championships as the medical director and head drug tester, but I didn't have time to compete.
Well, and that's admirable, and it's also really interesting timing that this just happens to come up with this episode being released while we're in Lent and we're supposed to be thinking about sacrifice. So there's a great testimony from Mark right there about tremendous sacrifice that he made. Again, 1994 and 1995 is when he was competing in powerlifting, and then not again until 2018. Mind you, folks, I realize that so far this all sounds like a storybook, but Mark unfortunately was on the front line with two immediate family members battling cancer. But this is different. First, please take a listen to this from someone you recently heard on Catholic Sports Radio.
Hi, this is triathlete Mike McQuaid. I was blessed to be Bruce's guest back in February on episode 159 of Catholic Sports Radio. I truly believe in Bruce's ministry, and I've made a donation to help keep Catholic Sports Radio going. And I'd like to challenge you, the listening audience, to come together and cumulatively contribute $100 in support of Catholic Sports Radio, just as I did. When we're successful, I'll match that with another $100. It's super easy. Just go to the Donate to CSR button. It's blue and right on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That's how I did it, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Let's support the great work that Bruce is doing and ensure that the good news of Christ is able to continue being spread far and wide to all those who need to hear these messages that guests are bringing forward on Catholic Sports Radio every week.
My thanks to Mike McQuaid for his contribution, as well as that challenge that you just heard him set down. I do hope that you'll consider using the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net to take part in what you just heard him describe. And now, Mark, right before that, I had mentioned about something you had to go through with two different family members. Fill in those details, as well as your takeaway from that experience.
Yes, my dad had a stroke. And at that moment, I realized I had to take care of him for 7 years. And he had like three strokes overall. But then as the kid becomes the parent kind of thing, I remember taking care of him and trying to maintain my practice and my family. And I called my sister up, or I coordinated with my sister who moved back to the area to help me take care of my dad. And with each year, he went downhill, but those last like 2 years were really hard. But when my sister moved up, she was going to take care of us, and that was like the last like 2.5 years. She ended up getting cancer. So not only that I not have help with my dad now, I had to take care of her as well. And they both went into hospice at the same time.
Wow.
Because my sister was not married, she didn't have any kids. And when she called me, when we went through it, it was terminal. It was really fast. It was within a year. Liver cancer. I'd never seen it do anything like that to a liver. And the crazy thing is, my dad had a third stroke, and he went into the hospital the day I found out my sister had cancer. And it was very difficult, because My dad, he worked as he was easier to work with because he was trying to participate. My sister was not ready to die, and she was angry and not and resistant, and it was hard to. And she didn't have insurance, so it was hard to find a place to help her live. And then we ultimately decided that she wanted to stay where she was at. Part of the problem is I could only do so much, and I found it was so frustrating, and I was so tired and running between my dad and my sister and really not getting any sleep and still trying to keep my practice going. But one of the things I realized with the resistance of my sister not wanting to go to a home, not wanting to, being pretty restrictive on who would come and help. She wanted me to stay there every night. And I realized at one point, I was like, God, I need help because I can't do all this. And I realized it was just my cross to bear. At that point, and I said, okay, I understand. This is my cross to bear. Took a deep breath. I said, God, please help me to handle this. Please help me to embrace it. Give me grace. I know they say you don't give us more than we can't handle. And at the time, once I said that and I accepted it, it became much more bearable for me. And I was amazed that I was able to do is was able to stay in and take care of my dad and able to get my sister food and all the help that she needed and get them to all their doctor's appointments. And other people also helped step up. But one of the things that I realized is we call asceticism, giving up my suffering to God, because I thought of Jesus on the cross and I was thinking, well, I don't have nails through my hands and nails through my feet. This is a lot easier than what he had to do. And I found there's a certain peace when I gave it up to God, my suffering up to God. And even though others, like my wife and people around me saying, it's too much, you don't have to do this, you know, get other people to do it. And I remember looking and saying, well, she doesn't have other people. And what surprised me is I didn't realize what I didn't think about was other people watching me. And I would inspire them because, you know, when my wife one day, she said, you're a saint. You're a saint. And, you know, my wife to say that was like, because she knows all my faults better than I do.
Sure.
And I knew that. What I was doing was making a difference because giving it up to God actually made it much more bearable. And I had found peace with that.
Yeah.
And so since then, I've been using the same kind of scenario and hardships that I would go through to help me. But it was a trying time. But it was also, I look back and I feel good about what I was able to do for both my dad and my sister before they died.
Yeah. And we listen to that and we take away peace and strength that you found, and I transfer it as follows. This episode is being released 2 days after Mark will have just competed in Oregon. He and I are recording this before that event, and Mark, you have said that you'll be going for the national deadlifting record for 55 to 60 year olds in the 242 pound class. That seems like a very individual pursuit that would lend itself to do a lot of time in prayer. Is that the case?
Oh, very much the case. And the hard workouts I dedicate to God. And when I don't want to go or walk into the gym, I just ask God for, or I give it up to God and say, okay, this is for you, God. And I get out of the car and I go in and I do it. But it's there's something also very spiritual about working out, about lifting hard or riding my bike, because it clears the mind. It also puts me in a state of prayer. And I think of when I do my deadlifts, the movement of a deadlift from the ground up, I think of Jesus on the cross walking when he's carrying his cross, and when he falls and he has to stand up with a cross. Mm. And I visualize myself doing the same movement with the deadlift, like I'm picking up my cross. And whenever I train and when I pray, I think of that a lot. So it's kind of, it gives me strength.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that. I see that. It's a great analogy. In the lead up to today, you told me about your favorite Catholic seminar, which clearly is the case since you've done it three times now. Go ahead and reveal to the audience what that is, as well as the impact it has had on you.
Yeah, my favorite Catholic seminar, it's called the Called and Gifted Seminar, put on by St. Catherine of Siena Institute and Sherry Waddell. And I have done it three times, but it talks about God's gifts, or what we call charisms, because we have the priests and the sisters and the religious that, you know, in our Catholic Church that help to serve, but the laity, we are also called by God to serve His will, and we serve Him through our charisms or our gifts. And this seminar helps give you clarity of what are your charisms, what are your gifts, and how do they work? And so that was such an eye-opening seminar to me. And you do this inventory, and at the end you tally up, and you can see what your possible gifts are, and then you go through and discern them to decide, is this truly my gift? And I realized that I do have the gift of healing, which gives me unique results sometimes. And it's not every time, but if there's somebody who's seeking me out that needs the help, then we get extraordinary results. And I just thought everybody got results like I did. And in school, in chiropractic college, in our senior year, when we're about ready to graduate, they said, let's talk about some of the, in class, they said, let's talk about some of the wins you've had in clinic. And so I talked about a couple, and then I stopped, and then there was two more. And then after that, I had like a bunch more, and everybody's looking at me like, you didn't have results like that. And I was looking at them like, aren't you guys? And I didn't understand why that wasn't happening. But through the Cold and Gifted seminar, I realized that I do have the gift of healing, and it, and how it works, and why I feel peace and energized at times when I am working with some people that really need it. And it's, and the other thing I learned in the Call the Gift of Work workshop too is if you're using your charisms or your gifts, you get closer to God. You're doing as well, and there's a lot of peace. But there's other things that are not my charisms, and I don't have to do them. I do not have the charism of singing. I don't have to be a singer. Nobody wants to hear me sing. And I don't have the charism of writing. I'm not going to be like a C.S. Lewis and write books, because he does have the charism of healing. And there are other people that have charisms such as like administration, which I need to do. And they talk about how much peace they have when they do it. That was fascinating to me.
Yeah.
But it really helps me give clarity sometimes when I'm working on people. And I don't tell them that I'm doing it. And I'll say a little prayer to God, or I'll say, sure, please help work through me. And
sure.
But it's, I brought my parents to it. I brought my wife's mother to it. I brought one of my high school teachers to the seminar. It will help you give clarity on what your charisms are, and when you follow those, it gives you peace, and it can give you direction on what where to go in life.
Well, and having heard you just say all of that, I think I already know my answer, but I'm going to ask you this next question anyways. We don't have time for me to go through the extensive list of the numerous teams and events that you've been associated with as medical director, team doctor, head drug tester, team chiropractor. What I see there, though, is the desire to serve. You're not the competitor in those instances. You're not in the spotlight, but you're wanting to give. And I was going to ask you what you attribute that spirit to, but I think you just told me. I'm going to let you respond nonetheless, but I think I've already got my answer.
Yeah. Well, I love, but yeah, serving others and using my experience, I love working with these teams and these athletes because I love the energy of it and I understand the mindset and I love being a part of it. And then I wasn't getting injured, I wasn't competing, but I was still part of all these sports teams and making a difference in people's lives and helping people, you know, get into play those games or break those records who would have normally not been able to do it. Mm. And I could celebrate their win with them, even though I'm not the one doing it.
I like that. Somehow, despite being a power lifter and operating your chiropractic sports clinic and serving in all the roles that we're talking about here with the various teams and events, you do manage to stay active in your local parish and in the community. Let's close by having you talk about both what you've been doing every week for 3 years now, as well as what you do each month.
Sure. So I meet up with a group of men, and it's open to everybody. I mean, women can come. It just happens to be about six or seven of us men, and there's three doctors there, but there's also carpenters and other people. But we do a Bible study. It's about 2 to 3 hours on Thursday nights, and to really look at the Bible and talk about how what does it mean and how are we living it and how can we live it, and it's always brings us close to God and clears our minds Each of us at different times might be up against it a little differently, but it always helps bring us closer to our faith and to God. Every month we go down and we feed the homeless in Seattle. We cook up a meal, we put it all together, and then we serve. So it's giving back, and everybody, it's surprising to see how thankful these people are that we are, and it's a way for us to serve. I mean, I go to Mass every week, sure. Every Sunday. And like during Lent, I always go an extra time a week. So going to Mass and being a part of the community of going to church is a big part of it I feel like we help inspire each other, and when we show up, it helps us, helps promote that kind of energy and faith. A good rule that I've always tried to live by is to try to use the Ten Commandments as my guide to life, and that is something that helps me stay on track.
Fantastic.
So that's pretty much what I do on a weekly and monthly basis.
Fantastic. Well, Mark, it's been great having you on Catholic Sports Radio. Thank you so much for making time to do this, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce. It's been a pleasure.
And folks, let us close with a prayer that we've not done in quite some time, but together, of course, we say in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to compete and use our talents through sports. Remind us that we are called to give our best and to finish the race while caring for others along the way. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.